Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I was in seminary, you do an internship called field education. I served at this small parish in Alexandria, Virginia, called St. Mark's, and there were a couple priests there. My supervisor was Reverend Meredith, and there was one Sunday when we were processing in. John, the rector, was there, and Meredith was the preacher, and so I was just there. It's one of the Sundays that you just go and learn what to do, right? Because I hadn't been in seminary too long, and we process in, and Meredith and I sit on one side, and John's on the other, and fortunately, at the beginning of the service, Meredith leans over to me and says, "Alan, you're actually preaching today." You can imagine, I've been in seminary like 6 minutes at this point, and so I'm like, I'm thumbing through, and I'm like, whatever. Like, it's going to be what it's going to be. I don't remember what I said. You know, the Holy Spirit works in wonderful ways. And maybe it's like childbirth, like you actually forget the painful things in your life so that you'll actually stand up and do it again, maybe. But I was reminded of that yesterday. Walker and I went to go see a movie in the middle of the day, and I got a phone call from the diocese during the movie. And so, number one, a phone call from the diocese on a weekend, rarely a good thing. But this was Beth Fain who called, and Beth's a dear friend of mine. She serves on the bishop's staff. And she let me know, if you saw the weekly email on Friday, you know that Canon Joanne Saylors was supposed to be with us today. If you saw her name as the preacher, sorry, number one. But yeah, I found out yesterday that she's sick. She's doing okay. She's not feeling great. That's the most important thing, right? But then, what am I going to say? Usually I have like a week to figure it out. But fortunately, we're going to figure this all out together. Right? This is when I should like turn to Io and be like, Io, it's actually your turn to preach. He's been preaching several weeks. Like, I haven't preached since like before Thanksgiving, so I've missed it. So y'all buckle up. We're ready. I've got... No. But this is a really great week in the Advent season, right? It's the middle. We light the pink candle. We're making the turn toward the manger. We're making the turn toward the coming of Christ. And so I was thinking about that as I was reflecting on the scripture. I didn't have time to get to the other, so I just stuck with the Old Testament. So we're going to preach about Isaiah. But if you think about Isaiah, right, like we pick up, and it sounds great what Isaiah's talking about. But this is a turn for Isaiah. Like if we weren't Episcopalians, I'd ask you to pick up your Bible and turn to a verse, but I'll read it for you since we're Episcopalians. So Isaiah 34, right? The prophet says, "Draw near, O nations, O people, give heed, let the earth hear. The Lord is enraged against all the nations, furious against all. He has doomed them, given them over for slaughter. The slain will be cast out. When my sword has drunk its fill of the heavens, the Lord has a sword, it is sated with blood. The Lord has a day of vengeance. Night and day shall be quenched. Generation to generation shall lie to waste." This is really uplifting stuff, right? Welcome to the Christmas season. This is hard, right? The prophet is writing in a time where folks are separated. Right? They're exiled. They're out. They're away from home. They're away from the people they love. Like, they think, this is the worst thing imaginable for them. And the prophet is saying, yeah, this is hard. And, like, the Lord maybe has more in store. But then we pick up with today's reading. Quickly after the prophet says, "Take heed, the Lord has a sword," we get this passage where Isaiah paints a picture of a wasteland. Isaiah paints a picture of a desert. Isaiah paints a picture of a wilderness that is teeming with new growth and with new life and green grass spouting forth. So there's a Christian mystic named Hildegard who coined this term, veriditas. Veriditas is Latin. It's the word green. It's the word truth put together. And as Hildegard describes it, it's the greening power of God. It's God's power to take dead things and make them not dead again. It's God's power to take fallow things and make them beautiful. It's God's greening power to take wastelands and turn them into gardens. And so I think that word captures what Isaiah speaks about. The life-giving power of God, even in the driest of places. So I mentioned Walker and I were at the movie yesterday. We saw the new Black Panther. That movie's not that new, so like, there's going to be a spoiler. If you don't want spoilers, like, walk out for 5 minutes and then come back in. But so, you know, Black Panther, right, Wakanda. And there's this, Walker and I have argued over this person's a superhero or an anti-hero or an antagonist, whatever. But if you've seen the movie, you know that the foil is this god, this something. There's a backstory and it's hard to know, but it's this person named Namor, which is the name that was given to this person by the conquistadors because they had no love, no more. And this person can live underwater and can live on land. This person draws their power, their energy, their life from water. Whether they're underwater or whether they get water from the atmosphere, right? Their power and their strength, their superhuman abilities come from water. And so the Wakandans, right, they're really smart people. They figure this out, and they figure out that in order to defeat Namor, they take him to the desert. Because in the desert, the things that bring us life don't exist. In the desert, the things that we need aren't there. Because we have bodies that rely on water to survive. We have souls that rely on living water to survive. So like I've never actually been in the desert and been so dehydrated that I was close to death. Maybe some of you have been in those situations. But I'm sure, like me, y'all have been in those places where life feels dry. Where your soul feels parched, where you feel like you're living in a barren wasteland where nothing green can grow. And I think in this season, it's really easy for us to cover those places up. If your yard's like mine, literally nothing is growing, so what do? I put up a green tree in my house and pretend like everything is okay. It gets dark at like 3 p.m, and so what do? We put up Christmas lights and pretend that everything is okay. Maybe you, like me, feel like you're parched and you're dry and you're empty sometimes. But in this season, we put on a smile and go to a party and pretend like everything's okay. Because this season often feels like the most wilderness of times for people. But this season is also when we're called to look at the desolate places in the world, look at the dry places in our community, look at the broken places even in our own lives, and remember what Isaiah says. Remember what John the Baptist proclaims. Remember what Jesus Christ is bringing. And that is a world that's restored, a world that's reimagined, a world that is reborn and teeming with growth, with veriditas, the greening power of God. We're called to imagine a world like the prophet describes today in our first reading, a world where the eyes of the blind are opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame leap with joy, the speechless sing for joy, a place where waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. We stand here in the middle of this season of preparation, this season of fasting, this season of waiting. And in the middle, we make our turn and we look to the coming of Christ and the coming realization that no wasteland is too far gone for God to redeem it. No person, no situation is too far gone for God to bring life. That's what we're preparing for in this season. Not just for a baby and a manger, not just for gifts for each other. Those things are great. But what we are preparing for in this season is to remember that the hope and the joy and the love and the light is coming to the darkest of places. Amen.